Hey, everybody. Jane Hamill, Fashion Brain Academy. This is the podcast. How you doing? Happy Friday. I'm taping this on a Friday. Today, I have a super special, really cool guest, Holly from Dame Couture. Holly, are you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having
How
me.
How are you? Awesome.
Good.
How
it's
are you
Friday.
Doing?
Good.
It's Friday.
Good.
And Holly and I both live in Chicago, and it's actually gorgeous here. It's been gorgeous every day for, like, I don't know, a long time now. So we're getting a little spoiled. So Holly is here to bring perspective to the whole bridal industry. Whether you're a bridal designer, you have a bridal, you want to get into it, who knows what, she's going to share the lowdown, the happenings, what's the latest with what's going on in the bridal. And what I love about Holly as well is that she, like I did, has both experience on both sides. She designs and she has a retail store. So she gets pitched and she pitches too. I mean, like, so many interesting things about your business, Holly. I can't wait to hear it.
Oh.
So first off, thanks a ton for making time. And if it's okay, we'll just start off with, who are you and what do you do?
Sure. My name is Holly Greenhagen, and I own Dame Couture, which is a bridal shop. I'm located in North Evanston, which is, people in Chicago know where that is. And it's a really small shop. I started out with a business partner 11 years ago, or maybe it's 12 now, and we were just designing our own designs and selling them. And over the years, the business partner left, and I started to carry other lines. The store got a little bit more, like, retail-y, started carrying more jewelry and veils and stuff, and at some point, about 3 years ago, I was like, I need to not be making all the dresses or, you know, having them made here. I need to, like, branch out, have other things for people to try on, so I started buying. So that's where I'm at right now. I probably carry about 10 designers. I also have my own stuff in here, and I also have some vintage dresses, and I redo vintage dresses. I, like, reconstruct and restyle vintage dresses for specific brides or just sometimes people will sell me dresses, and then I'll kind of change them up a little bit and put them on the rack.
Oh, that's so fun.
It is so fun. I love doing that.
I think that would be a blast. Tell me, how did you originally get started? Because I think, didn't you go to Northwestern, a more traditional
path?
Oh,
yeah, sure. So I have a journalism degree from Northwestern.
Yeah.
I worked for the Reader for 8 years, and then I
So obviously you have a bridal business then. I mean,
yeah, right. I'd always sewn. I'd sewn since I was a kid. I'd made costumes for all my high school and college plays and stuff. And so after I kind of realized that maybe publishing was not where I wanted to be, and I just sort of kind of a light bulb went off, and I was like, I'm going to go to design school. So at age 29, I went back to school and studied at the Fashion Institute of Design and Merchandising. It was just an associate's degree program, so it was really fast. I learned lots of things I didn't know about pattern making and the industry. And then I worked out there for a couple of years.
In L.A.
Bridals. In L.A., yes. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And then I moved back here because I was kind of homesick. And as you know, there aren't a ton of fashion businesses located in Chicago. Well, there were a few more at the time. I think Horny Toad was here when I moved back and a couple other things. But unable to find a job in the fashion business,
yeah,
I decided to start my own business. And I didn't start with bridal, but at some point my former business partner suggested that we try bridal. She wasn't my business partner until we started the bridal business, but it was her idea. So we started it, and kind of like it just sort of resonated. I mean, there weren't that many tiny designers doing bridal in Chicago at the time, and people kind of found us. And
plus, you guys were doing something a little different. You weren't doing, like, the big traditional.
No, we weren't doing the big goofy. We were doing sort of more restrained. I mean, I think, you know, the word vintage inspired is so everywhere in bridal right now, but we were really doing vintage inspired. Like, actually, we would look through vintage, you know, old pictures and stuff and, like, take ideas. And not everyone was doing that then. So they were a little smaller, the dresses. They were a little more, like, lacy and drapey and just a little more cheeky and retro.
Yeah, matching favorite. That still is a very fresh look, but when you guys were doing it, it really was not the way it is now that everybody's kind of, not everybody, but
exactly.
it's a popular thing. Okay, cool. All right, so you have this store, and you're selling direct to consumer. How did you get customers?
I've tried lots of advertising, and I still do lots of advertising, but I still think word of mouth is probably my best advertising. Yeah. It's a really personal experience here, and me being who I am, I have kind of a strong personality, and I think people, you know, if they don't react well to it, they don't get their dress here. But if they do, they just love it, and they tell their friends, you know, and they get on Yelp. I've got tons of Yelp reviews. And
so Yelp has been good for you?
Yelp has been good for me. Don't tell Yelp, though.
I know, right? Because, oh, my gosh, they never stop trying to get you to advertise, right?
I do advertise them on Wedding Wire. I'm actually in CS Brides now and Chicago Style Weddings because I kind of went a little crazy this year and signed up for a bunch of advertising. But honestly, word of mouth has been my best friend.
That's so awesome. Okay, so now, so you're making everything for quite a few years, and then you decided, you know what, I have this whole store, let me add a few more products. Tell me about that. Why did you decide, and how did you decide what to put in there and what to pick?
That's a great question. I didn't even think of that question.
Sorry.
I was approached by a woman in a different state who was organizing a wholesale fair for little people like me, like people who had never really wholesaled before, and didn't know any stores and kind of had an alternative point of view design-wise. And so I signed up to do that, and that I think was in spring of 2013. And I brought my 13-piece collection, and I was there with about 8 other designers. And by the time I left, it was a long weekend event. I sold a couple dresses to brides. I didn't really sell anything to stores, but it was great. I was in New York, and it was really fun. And the best part was meeting these other designers who were doing what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
One of them said to me while I was there, "Ooh, I'm opening a store soon. I would love to carry your line. So let's talk about that next month." And by the time we talked about it, she decided she only wanted to carry her own dresses. But by that time, I was thinking maybe I should carry her dresses in my store because she had a great aesthetic and it was different than mine. And the most important thing to me was that I knew her. I had met her and I had seen her work. And so I knew the quality. I knew her personally. Like, I felt like she was going to be responsive and also committed and responsible, and she would ship things when they were supposed to be shipped and not steal my money. And there was one other company at that same fair that was the same way. It was two guys who ran this business, and they had a beautiful product. They had been in business long enough that they knew how to do it, and I knew they were going to ship to me. And, you know, not stealing your money is very big. Trust is very big. Cause Brian
was
So I started with just those two vendors. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, go ahead. Yeah, and then
the same event like 6 months later. The next bridal market, she did another event, and I met yet another place in Seattle that is kind of like me in that they make their dresses and they have a retail operation. So we decided that we were just going to swap some samples. So I sent them 6 of my samples, and they sent me 6 of their samples. So now I had 3 designers represented. And it was all people I kind of had met and hung out with. So
that's so awesome. And so when you did have different styles, did that drive traffic because those designers were like, "Hey, you can also get my stuff here"? Did that help bring people in? Or was it more that the people had a bigger selection when they did come to your store?
It was both.
Okay.
There was one, the designer who was originally going to pick me up and did not, and I picked her up instead. She did drive traffic to my store because she kind of got really big really fast, and people knew her name.
Nice.
Her name is Rebecca Schoenbeld, by the way, in case you care.
I do. And how do you spell the last name?
It's Schoenveld.
Oh, Schoenbeld. And I will put that in the show notes
This
podcast on the blog, too. Great.
Yeah. And the other line that I picked up early on was the Cotton Bride, and the store in Seattle that I still trade samples with is Cicada Bridal in Seattle.
The Cotton Bride, clever name. Boy, that takes a huge level of trust to trade samples. I love that. Love it.
But it's so cheap. You don't have to buy any samples.
It's amazing.
I mean, you do have to make your own samples, but, you know.
Well, you're both putting in the same amount of risk.
Right.
Okay, so let's go back to that trust thing. Okay, so you started because you kind of knew these people. You hung out with them. You're like, okay, she's going to ship. I think either way you put it, you said, I knew them. I started to trust them. I knew they would ship, and they would not steal my money. How could they steal your money? What could go wrong? What would be that you'd be worried about?
Well, I mean, I'm on a bunch of, like, Facebook groups and all and stuff with other retail shop owners. I hear stories all the time about big companies failing to ship by the date that they promised to ship. And, you know, in bridal, it's a little bit different than regular wholesale, right, because we order one piece at a time. Pieces aren't cut until they're ordered. Like the bride gives me her money, I give some of that money to the manufacturer, and then they start, you know, they promise to deliver by a certain date, which is before the bride's wedding.
Yeah.
They don't deliver before the bride's wedding, then there's a little bit of a problem.
Oh, my God.
And I hear stories about that all the time from big companies who drop the ball. You know, the order gets lost or, you know, whatever, went to the wrong place, or they just didn't make it for whatever reason. Or the other thing that happens that I hear a lot about is that the dress comes in and it doesn't look like a sample.
Yeah.
The manufacturer has switched out the fabric or without, you know, without consulting or, I don't know, they, you know, they don't usually change the styling. It's usually a fabric problem.
Yeah.
They had to sub in new fabric because their fabric wasn't available anymore.
Oh, my God. And they don't even check with you to check with the bride.
Right. Right. So I would consider that sort of falls under the category of stealing your money, you know.
Yeah, totally. Okay, yeah. Got it.
You give them money and they create a huge problem for you with your bride.
Oh, my God. And that relationship with the bride is, I mean, you can't mess with that, man. Come on.
That's trust also. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's super trust, right? Okay, so now you're carrying your own stuff and accessories and other bridal lines, correct?
Correct.
Okay, and I don't know if this is a question. I didn't mention I would ask this question, so feel free to just dodge it. But so which part of the business is the strongest? Is it the accessories? Is it the, you know, like which part is kind of the bread and butter?
Oh, boy. I would say not the accessories. My own stuff is still a huge drive. It's still a huge amount of my income, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And every year there's like one line I feel like that does as well as my stuff. So last year it was this line Truvel that I just picked up. I should say 2015. This year it's been this line Truvel that
mm-hmm.
I picked up last year. And then the year before that it was Rebecca Schoenvel. She did really well for me. So it's the dresses for sure, because I think that's where the profit margin is the best. But my own stuff still continues to be a good draw for me.
Yeah, well, I mean, your stuff really is awesome. It always
has
been.
Well, it's interesting, though. I haven't had much success wholesaling it. So I think it's my force of personality. You get in the store and I'll start talking about, like, oh, we could do this, we could do that. Let's just change the neckline on that, you know?
Yeah. And the fact that you're they get to meet you, that's an experience you can't replicate, you know?
I think that's true, yeah.
Okay, so let's think of it as you as a designer, if you're trying to wholesale, right? And somebody's going to try to wholesale to you or to any bridal store. Tell me this. Could you describe kind of a typical outreach that you get from a bridal company, whether it's good or bad? What's sort of the typical outreach that you receive?
Well, typically people will send emails.
Okay.
And really there's two. I mean, if I get cold called, it's either an email or it's a printed piece, like
mm-hmm.
it's a mailer.
Yeah.
And usually people don't spend the money. And I really usually feel bad when people do spend the money on getting, like, you know, photos, color photos printed on a brochure or something. It's so expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And you can really send more pictures and better pictures, you know, for free. So if you send an email. So usually it's an email. There are two big times of year where, let me back up. A lot of store owners, myself included, do a lot of their decision making at market. And
mm-hmm.
so, I mean, even if I don't necessarily buy what I see at market, I want to go see what's there and, like, decide what I'm going to buy from other people who have pitched me and stuff then. So a lot of people will pitch around September and October, because there's a big market in October, and then in the spring there's a little bit of pitching too.
If somebody pitches you in between those seasons, I mean, bridal is so different than any other
Yeah,
category.
That's fine. I read it.
You're down with that. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so the first thing is, I don't, even though I have a bridal shop, I'm not sitting on like tens of thousands of dollars that I'm like dying to buy new merchandise with, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I want to put that money in my pocket. Unless there's something that you're pitching me that I think would be a great seller for me,
mm-hmm.
or fills a hole. So, and the other thing to keep in mind is that there's bajillions of people out there designing bridal gowns right now. So it's kind of a tough market to be in if you're a new designer, I think.
I would say yeah. So can you tell us what would be a good pitch? Like, what's one of the best pitches you've ever had? Like an email or whatever. Like, what's something someone could send that would get your attention?
Pictures that look like something that I don't have in my shop that are a good price point with a good markup, and they seem like they know what they're doing.
And what does that
I mean, I really
want
to
tell
see,
us
I really
they know
want,
what they're doing?
That's a good question. You know, they might say if they're lucky enough to already be represented somewhere, they might mention like where they're selling, or they might tell me like I've had this custom business going and I've sold to this many brides, and you know, here are some of my satisfied customers have to say. Or, you know, often what people will do is offer to just send the gowns for a trunk show at, like, at their expense, which is, you know, if they have a range of samples made up that they can, and they have a duplicate, you know, a duplicate range of samples made up that they can bear to part with for a few weeks, that can be a little scary for them, I understand, but that's a really great way for me to see the dresses because I don't have to spend any money. I can see what they look like in my store next to my other dresses, and I can put them on bodies. I can put them on brides who are coming in for appointments. So that's like
okay,
the coolest
so
way to
stitch,
I think.
Stuff.
But I understand it's a little scary for some people. So
well,
then I would
course.
Say, like, lots of pictures.
Yeah.
If
okay,
you have
so
a website,
right.
Like if you're a designer, if you, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, please. No, I want you. Yeah.
If you are a designer, you asked me how do I know if they know what they're doing. If they,
yeah.
You know, having a website with your product on it helps a lot. I know it doesn't necessarily mean you know what you're doing, but it helps a lot.
Do people actually send you a pitch like, please buy my dresses and without a website? Their own website?
Probably I've never gotten that, no.
Yeah. Okay. So if the website looks good and professional, that's a sign that they're in the game.
Yeah, and professional pictures.
Yeah. Professional pictures. And what kind of pictures do you like the best? Because I think designers love to highly stylize the pictures, and you know. But what are the best pictures? What kind of pictures do you like? Plain product shots or?
I think for bridal, it's for me. It's best. I like it best when I can see the dress on a model. It doesn't have to be, like, you know, a Ford model or anything fancy. Just, like, a live body is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, some you know, like, product shots, not, like, editorial cover of Vogue kind of shots. But, like, here's the back view. Here's the front view. You know, here's a detail that I think you should know about, like, at the hem or at the sleeve or something.
Yeah. Don't you find – I just find that so many designers go – really crazy with the styling of their photo shoots when really if you're going to buy you want the plainest picture possible.
Well,
just
I mean they probably take
decent,
I mean, you take those
you know?
Pictures for other reasons, right? You want to get those pictures out on social media and stuff.
Yeah,
the crazy pictures.
Yeah, but the buyers don't care about the crazy pictures. That's the thing.
No. Right.
Well, I mean we can't buy off of crazy pictures. You can't see what the clothes are like. Okay, so let me just get this straight. So if someone's pitching you let me see if I have this right. A few things you're looking for is that the pictures are good quality, on a model, you can see something, you're pointing out details that are important, you're looking for a good price point, and a good markup for you.
Right.
You're looking for if there's any proof of sales that you can give, including home parties, custom orders, any testimonials are also helpful. And even best case scenario is somebody who's new who really wants to get in and compete offers to send you the gowns for a trunk show for 2 weeks, right? Is that correct? 2 weeks?
Yeah, I mean, 2 weeks would be great. If it's only a week, that'd be fine. You know, it depends on how far away you are, how long they're going to take to get here, and how long you can have them, stand to have them gone and stuff. I just don't meet very many designers who are local who are bringing me their line to look at. So it's usually a shipping situation.
Right. And you're fine with that. Somebody can ship and not come. Okay,
absolutely.
Great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so how do they get that all of these, I mean, do they sort of get all of these things in the first email, or is it sort of where they're sending you multiple things to reveal different aspects of what's great about their line, or what's the best thing to do?
I think most people just say, hi, my name is, you know, Jane Doe, and I design a line in, you know, wherever, Columbus, and I think it would be a good fit for your store because I see some of the other lines you carry, and here are some pictures, and here's the price range, or here's a line sheet, you know, with all the wholesale and suggested retail and size range.
And do you
stuff.
Like a line sheet attached or a link to go see it?
It doesn't matter.
You're cool. Okay. And then what would you say, what kind of pitches have you gotten in email? And so you open all your emails? Do you actually look at all of them?
Yeah, I don't necessarily respond to them all.
Right, no, you can't. I mean, it's too many, right? Do you ever look, tell me this truthfully, do you ever look and you say, oh, that's pretty cute, I might want to do that, but you don't respond because you're busy or whatever?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Truth be told, for sure. But the other thing is, I think a lot of things are cute and you know, I think there's a lot of great dresses out there. That doesn't mean I can afford to buy them all, you know, nor would they be necessarily a good thing for me to invest in.
So what sets somebody apart who gets the order?
So I try to make a little list of things that were important. I think, and actually part of this is going to go back to your earlier question, is how do I know if they know what they're doing?
Yeah.
Oftentimes, if I know, if they kind of describe, like if I can tell what fabrics they're using and I can look at their wholesale prices and their suggested retail prices, sometimes you can tell that somebody doesn't know what they're doing costing, or they don't know what they're doing with the money part of it. Or you wonder where they're sourcing their fabric or something like that. But so that can be a tip off sometimes. So what makes me want to look at a line, have them send it, or meet with them, see them at market or something like that? I would say, you know, the number one thing is that I need to be able to sell it.
Yeah.
It's nice if it can fill a hole that I have in my selection, but sometimes duplicates are okay, because if it's a style that's really popular, like a lace mermaid gown or something.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to have two or three different, you know, versions of that on your rack. I absolutely want to know that they are, this goes back to the way I started, you know, that they're responsible and that they're, I don't really get pitched by fly-by-night operations, so I shouldn't act like I do all the time, but I just want to know, I just want them to seem like they're trustworthy, they're communicative, they're responsive,
mm-hmm.
And they understand enough about the business to, like, get me the dress I order. You know, they've got the fabric in stock, or they know they can get it. They've got, you know, a seamstress lined up. They know how to grade the patterns, or they've got a grading company lined up, whatever all those elements are.
I could say owning my store for 14 years, one of my hugest pet peeves was placing an order and not getting it. It's like I saved spot and dollars for you, mm-hmm. not to mention you're filling a hole that I have in my store, and you didn't come through for me. Like, that's it.
And I ignore some other people to buy from you. So
exactly, right? Okay, so what would you say is a bad pitch? Like, what do you say? Don't do this, guys. Like, you got to know, don't do this.
I don't know if I've ever gotten a really bad pitch. Really bad amateurish photos.
No, that's not bad. I mean, I've had some bad ones.
I mean, like, if you're sticking it on your dress, on your kind of crappy dress form in your dark living room, just don't bother, because, you know, it's
don't
not going to reflect on your product, which could be beautiful.
Yeah, right.
You know, I think minor pet peeves, but this wouldn't turn me off if I liked the line, is, like, telling me your inspiration for your line.
Oh!
I don't really care.
I feel the same way.
You know, that's such a fascinating
buyer,
thing. And
I never
did the same thing when I was a student. And for years, I was like, this collection is inspired by Chicago architecture. And then also telling me why you think you'd be a good fit for my store. I mean, that's not bad if you actually are a good fit for my store, but I guess the better way to phrase that would be like, here's what I'm selling now.
Yeah.
If you're lucky enough to be selling somewhere, which go you.
But again, if you're not, you have had custom clients, so you can always talk about that.
Right.
I could say I teach designers, because as a retailer for so long, what I really hated, and I know most retailers do hate this, is when they say, I just know this would be great for your store.
Mm-hmm.
And my attitude is, you know, because you've been here. Like, you work here.
Oh, you're inside my head right now?
Right. And so what I suggest they say instead is, we hang well with these lines, and
perfect.
I noticed you carried those lines, so it seems like it could be a fit for your customer. You know,
like,
just soften that up a little, because you don't know,
yeah.
Man. You're not me.
Yeah.
And so is there any, like, have there been times when you bought a line when you just knew it was going to be awesome? Like, you just had a feeling?
I think I'm still too new at buying to know that for sure. I mean, I try not to buy things that I don't think are awesome, but I mean, I think Rebecca, when she did so well for me that year, I didn't see that coming.
Yeah.
basically, so here's the secret of buying. I don't know if this is true in Nine Bridal, but like you buy six styles from a designer, and there's one that you sell the crap out of, and the other five just hang there and get tried on, but people don't order them.
Isn't that incredible?
I mean, oh, once in a blue moon. Yeah.
The secret of bridal. I love it.
Bridal.
So tell me, what is a typical order? Is it you usually order six dresses?
Six is high for me.
Okay. Yeah, it seems like
you
a
know,
lot.
I probably have, I mean, I like to have like six or so represented from each designer, but that doesn't mean I'm buying them all at once. So a lot of, it, depending on how established the designer is, some of them have an entry point of you must buy four or six styles, and then you must keep buying that many styles or three styles a year if you want to keep, you know, having an exclusive with our line. If, you know, if you're going to carry somebody, you want to sort of show their aesthetic. So I think you need probably like at least to buy three dresses. You know, it depends on the designer.
And when they say you have, how do you feel about you have to buy four to six and three per year? You okay with that?
I don't really love it, but if I want to, I think right now I have one designer who had the six dress entry point, and I'm still not really sure. So I've had her for a year, and I'm buying a couple styles from her this year. I'm not really sure. I haven't been doing that well with her, but I love her stuff. So I kind of feel like I want to give it a little more time and try to turn people in Chicago around a little bit.
And so if they're doing – if the vendor is giving you these kind of rules about minimums, that usually means that you are carrying it exclusively in the whole Chicago area or in Evanston or in – how does that work?
It depends on the vendor. I'm the only one who has this line in the Chicago area. But I – you know, that is – I mean, that's a little off-putting to me. I think I would – I really need to want to buy it bad if those are the rules. And that's more established vendors, too. Like, if you're a new designer, I mean, I never required anybody to buy any minimums from me when I was trying to wholesale, and I don't think that you should. I think if the designer, if the store really likes your aesthetic, they're going to want to buy more because they want to show people your aesthetic.
Yeah, the key is if they're going to test it, and if it sells, they're going to buy more. And if it doesn't, they're not.
They're not, right.
So one thing you mentioned, which I think is so important as a retailer, but designers just don't, you know, they couldn't really get this at first because it's really a business-minded thing, is that you said one of the things that you look for is that it has a good price point and a good markup for you.
Oh, so, the markup question.
Yeah, because, I mean, I would always look for who's going to make me the most money, because I like all these lines about the same, but this one's going to be, you know, a 60% markup and that one's 55%. Like, what are you going to pick?
It's always such a challenge because, especially for made in USA products, their labor costs are so high already. And, you know, you want to make it an attractive retail price that people want to buy, but the store still needs to make money because we're paying for all this overhead. Salespeople and rent and lighting and display and utilities and alarm systems. You know, there's just so much stuff you're paying for. So in bridal, I definitely have, I think the range that I have is anywhere from 2 to 2.5. And I think 2, which is, there's another word for that, isn't there? Like keystone. I don't really know my industry terms.
If you keystone. Like if you buy it for $600, you're selling it for $1,200. That'd be keystone.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's not great. That's a pretty slim margin, but if it's for the right person, you know, sometimes you just have to do that. There are some, 2.5 is great. Hardly anybody does 2.5. I feel like 2.2 to 2.3 is pretty standard. There are some vendors, I always find this confusing, who are like, well, you can market whatever retail price you want. We suggest, you know, 2.2, or we suggest, you know, keystone plus $200, which is like another point in bridal. And I always, I mean, me, because of my personality, I feel like I want it to be the same price everywhere for everyone. But of course, that's not real life. So
but it, I have to, like, it kind of is, because people can just Google that stuff up right there and go buy it from
somebody
else.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah.
It's interesting, because I thought more designers would protect their pricing and want you to do at least this much, or, you know, I don't know.
Right.
Huh, interesting. Okay.
Well, I try not to, I don't buy any, this is one reason I don't really buy the big corporate lines, because I don't want people to come try on their Nicole Miller dress here and then, like, go order it on the website because it's on sale. I want to carry
that's,
something that you can
yeah.
buy from me or you can buy from the designer for the same price.
Yeah, you know, the only way to keep yourself, your prices where they are is to not have your distribution that big, honestly. Like,
yeah.
people come to me lots of times, they're like, well, I'm going to sell this on Amazon. And I said, okay, but it is a race to the bottom. If you open
yeah.
if you open yourself up to Amazon, you may get more orders, but are you going to make money?
Yeah.
If you keep your distribution tighter and you keep your profit margins where they should be, would that be a better decision? I don't, you know, it depends on the company,
yeah,
of course, but
product probably.
Yeah, it does. But you can't. I mean, we can't compete on price with big companies. We just can't. Like, it's not going to happen. So we better have something else going on for us, right?
Right. Yep.
Okay. So, two questions. Last questions. And I'm loving this, by the way. I'm learning a lot here. What advice would you give to a new designer who's getting into stores? Like, is there something you wish you knew when you started that you totally get it now?
Make some samples in a real person size. I think a lot of people do this already. So you make, you know, if you're going to do a photo shoot and you're going to use a professional model, most people make a tiny sample size. I make a size 10 for my sample size, but a lot of people make like 2s and 4s,
mm-hmm.
which is great. But then you can't send all your size 2s to a store for a trunk show because no brides will really be able to try them on.
Right.
So make sure you have, I would say make 2 sets of samples, one in a more of a micro size and one in more of a like Midwestern medium size.
Yeah. And do you think the photo shoots really do look better in the micro size, the size 2s?
No, I mean, I think it all depends on the model and the photographer, honestly.
Yeah.
You know?
Plus now, can't you just stretch them out a little? Like, I don't know, you think you can just stretch that photo a little so she's a little skinnier if you use the size 10, you know?
You mean Photoshop for fatter?
Photoshop for
skinnier?
Me either way. You can't Photoshop the actual dress skinnier or
better,
know.
I don't know many emerging designers who can afford to pay professional models. I mean, I never
yeah.
have. But, you know, if you can and you want to make your tiny samples, I'm sure your pictures will be great. But then just make some bigger samples, too.
Yeah, I wouldn't be sure their picture would be great, by the way, but okay. No, you're right. I know what you mean. Okay, and then So, all right, so if you're going to be shipping samples to stores, make sure they're a normal person size, okay?
Yeah, I actually had a designer who sort of just mid-season, I think it was in June or July, contacted me a couple years ago and said, I'm in this other store you know. I'm wondering if I can send my dresses to you for a trunk show. They were really pretty. She was kind of Southern, so she had this Southern sensibility, but the dresses still seemed like they had some appeal for my brides. And I was like, great, this is so exciting. I don't have to drop a penny. I'm going to see this new line in my shop. She seems really easy to communicate with. And then the dresses came, and they were all 2s.
Oh.
And the construction wasn't that great. So I didn't really get to try them. I think I tried one dress on one person for the whole 2 weeks they were here.
Yeah.
So I felt bad. And then, so here, this is interesting. I sent the dresses back to her. I didn't send any note or anything with it. I just sent the dresses back. She never contacted me to get any feedback.
Whoa. That's a big mistake on her part.
I feel like even if it's negative, don't you want to know what you did wrong or, you know,
I do now, but back then I think I was so afraid of hearing negative feedback about my line.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would prefer to bury my head in the sand. Okay, So I had another bad trunk show experience too.
Last year I had a bride, a designer, and these are lovely people and they have lovely designs. I'm not trying to knock their business. That's why I'm not
No,
thinking.
Yeah.
Another designer who sent her stuff, and it was really cool. It's kind of like cool urban girl wedding dresses, and I was like, oh, this is going to be so, you know, cool to try on people. And I got the dresses in, and, like, just things weren't well made. Like, the zippers weren't put in very well and stuff like that.
Mm.
So I kind of ended up hiding some of the samples in the back. And then, because I wasn't going to make the same mistake that I made last time with no feedback, I actually sent her an email saying, these are all my problems with your dresses. And she
mm-hmm.
wrote back, and she was like, I really appreciate your feedback.
Oh, my gosh, she should. You did her a solid.
So that's someone who's probably going to stay in business because she's just going to take the feedback and improve her product.
Absolutely. Yeah. I wish it took me about 5 years to get to be able to take the feedback, I think. Let me ask you this. When it comes to running a business, I mean, you have wholesale, retail, you're buying, you do a lot, girl. And you've been in business how long now overall?
I'm going to say since 2004, so 11
That's
years.
Amazing. It's great. It's super great. And so do you have any business books that you've read, or is there anything you're reading right now that you would suggest to other entrepreneurs?
Man, I saw that question in your email, and I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, I don't have not.
Well, several years ago, I read this book called The E-Myth, E for Entrepreneur.
Yes, The E-Myth.
I thought that was amazing. I mean, it was really helpful. It'll set you right if you're feeling really discouraged, or it could discourage you. I don't know, but I haven't read anything lately.
But The E-Myth, I think now the revised one is called The E-Myth Revisited. And
oh, good. Oh, maybe I should go get it and read it again.
It's a fantastic book, but I think you have a point though, Holly. If it makes you depressed to read that book, then you're not entrepreneurial enough. Like, it's just, you know, it'd be good to know. Like, read it, and if it really puts you in a bad place, then, you know, get yourself a job and enjoy your life and do your thing. But if you read it and it gets you inspired and excited, then bam. That's a great book. It also talks a lot about doing less, about, like, if you do something once, create a system for it, delegate it. Like, it's such a smart book, and it's honestly, I should be reading that every 6 months because it's so useful.
Yeah. I still suck at that, but I've gotten better at my systems.
It's hard. It's not natural for us designers to have, like, systems.
Right, because we're creative.
I'll just do it again tonight. No problem.
And I feel like a couple of years ago, this is coming back to me now, I read a book by Richard Branson about his experiences.
Yeah.
You know, founding his bajillions of businesses, which is, you know, maybe not as inspiring, but it was a quick read. And, you know, he is, you know, a multi-bajillionaire, so...
You know, he's a fascinating dude. I want to read that, actually. I'm going to go grab that off of Amazon or whatever, because the more I know about him, the more I'm intrigued. He's a very cool guy.
He's, you know,
and did
he's,
you know
he's
that
outside,
Richard Branson...
He thinks outside the box. I hate that phrase, but I think he
I know. He does, though. He doesn't worry about, like, if it's been done before or doing it a different way.
Yeah.
But you know what's amazing about him? Okay, he has all the money in the universe, right? He has started three different fashion companies, apparel companies, and they've all failed.
Oh.
Yeah. And he says it right up. He's like, look, that's a freaking tough business. Like, I can't even make it work, and I'm Richard Branson.
Oh, it's...
Or at least not yet. Not yet. I bet you he'll start a fourth and it'll work. Like, he'll figure it out.
He'll figure out the quirk. Well, you know, and then the thing with bridal is you don't have any repeat customers. Although I have had one or two repeat customers, but you don't want to have repeat customers.
Well, the Encore Bride is a great business too, you know?
Right.
Oh my gosh. I have learned so much. Tell me this. If somebody wants to find your dresses, or maybe they need a dress or whatever, they want to find your store, where should they go?
They can check out my website. I just found the name of the Richard Branson book. I think I read Screw It, Let's Do It. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, is that, that's it, the name? Yeah, that's his big line, right? Screw It, Let's Do It.
But he does have like 6 books here. Sorry to go off topic.
No. I want to know. Do you know which was the one that you liked particularly?
I think Screw It, Let's Do It. That's the name of the book. But there's like 5 other ones here that maybe I should read. So, I mean, the best thing to do is probably check out my website if you are a... Are you talking from the bride's perspective?
And
or
just
the,
anybody. If people want to say,
brides can now make appointments on the website, which is... You know, if you'd rather call or email, that's fine too. I'll have a conversation with you. But if you're just, it's 2 a.m. and you want to make an appointment, you can do it, which is just the beauty of living in this day and age.
I love that. DameCouture.com, right?
Yep, that's DameCouture.com. And you can check out the Instagram and the Facebook. It is appointment only now, so dropping by is probably not going to be that rewarding for you.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's really not a big deal to make an appointment. I'm happy to see everyone.
Oh, I love it.
I love your shop.
Store.
You would know what I'm like. It's not stuffy or pretentious or anything. We're just very normal.
No, this is the anti-hard sell. Like,
yes. Oh, God. I'm
bring
so
me 85 gazillion dresses all day with me and my – well, you can bring your 85 grandmas. That's cool. But it's I like your style. I like what you have going. I like your space. Your new website looks great. I don't know how new it is now, but it looks pretty new to me.
It might only be like a year old, I think.
Yeah, it looks really good. All right, so it's Dame, D-A-M-E, couture.com. I'll put that in the show notes.
Cool.
And Holly, you rock. Thank you so much.
It's been so fun.
It's This is a fun job, right? I love it.
Yeah. You have a nice thing going here, Jane.
I'm so lucky. I love my job. I couldn't be happier right now. So thanks,
me
dude.
Too.
Oh, my gosh. These pictures are good you have on here, too. Really great. The picture
thanks.
Of your space, everything. You're doing great. All right. So damecouture.com is Holly. Anybody getting married, go buy your dress there. You'll be happy. And thanks again, dude. I will be
that
talking to you. You know what? I just want to get the names of those things you mentioned, so hang on one second. Everybody, thank you so much for listening. And this is Fashion Brain Academy podcast. If you have a question that you want me to answer, a business question, all you have to do is hit me up on Twitter with hashtag AskJanesBrain. And once a week, I make a video with a designer question. And if you get picked, you'll get the personal answer, okay? You and the rest of the world will get the personal answer. All right. Take care, everybody. Thanks for coming, and have a great day.